The following audio is from the King's Chapel. You can find out more about our church at thekingschapel.org.
We bless you, Sunday school teachers. We had prayer for teachers today. I know there's a couple of us here at least, maybe more than two. Just so you know who I am, my name is Marty Reeve. I'm the minister of music and the administrative pastor here. I've been here for about 20 years, I think. I'm married. My wife, Kathy, is a preschool teacher. We've been married 44 years yesterday. No, Friday. She's a preschool teacher, and I teach part-time at a public school. I've been teaching at public school for, I wrote down here so I wouldn't forget, 30 years about, on and off. We have three children, four grandchildren, and just so you'll know, just in case I refer to this in the sermon, I play the piano for the chorus, and then I teach a pre-K class and two second grade classes and two kindergarten classes, music, in their classroom. Since I'm part-time, I don't have my own room. So I kind of camp out in the library and enjoy my family there. And then I go to rooms and teach kids in the room. And my sermon is entitled, Making a Difference. We have that prayer today. They used to call me the weeping pastor at the church that Bill and I served at before. Because I have a propensity to well up a little bit. So forgive me for doing that. I'll try to press on. And actually, the title is Making a Difference Despite All the Differences. And my wife and I were talking the other day about how things were pre-pandemic. I don't know if you ever do that or not, but I always think about how things used to be. And perhaps I developed kind of a bad attitude because we remember when we used to go to school, we would commute together. And we got to talk to each other on Monday. She dropped me off at school on Monday. And she went to teach at her preschool, then she went to babysit the grandkids. Then she'd come back and pick me up, and we'd drive home and share our experiences for the day. It was pretty nice. And here's the thing. In the classroom, things were normal. And I mean normal. You could touch things. With kindergartners and second graders, we play circle games. We hold hands all the time. We don't do that anymore. And kids are wearing masks. And I'm wearing a mask, and I'm also, I mean, I feel comfortable this morning. If you can see, I have my phone here, and I usually keep my phone on just in case we do a steady beat exercise so kids can feel the pulse of a song. I have a metronome on my phone. And then on the other side at school, I have an amplifier because I have a mask on and they can't hear me when I'm singing. And then I have a headset, and I feel like I'm an airplane pilot, kind of, sort of. You see, and they're agreeing with me, but over there, the teachers that are here. And we have a few teachers here. But it's really different now. We don't hold hands. We don't touch things. We're not supposed to touch each other, although with kindergartners, all bets are off. But it was kind of sad as we remembered, because the COVID's changed everything, hasn't it? It has. And who knows when things will be back to normal again. But I know this, God's on the throne. And he knows everything we're going through. And we need to keep our eyes on him. Despite or maybe because of all that we're going through, I think that God wants us to be available to share the Lord Jesus now more than ever. So I'm trying to help you. See, I'm going to read you a passage of Scripture in Matthew 5 right after some of the Beatitudes. And in it, Jesus gives us a couple of glowing compliments. He says that we're the salt of the earth. He says that we're the light of the world. And we are, but we need to kind of get our game ready to prepare what we want to do when we share the love of Jesus and be ready at all times to do that. And just to give you a little heads up, so I as a teacher, you try to open with what you're trying to teach, and you close reminding kids, this is what we wanted to learn today. I figured out for me, I need to stay connected. I need to stay connected to my Heavenly Father daily. I memorize scripture. I have a quiet time most every day because I need it. And I've been doing it at night as well. Rather than watch TV, read some scripture at night, it's a good thing to do. So you need to stay connected, but you also have to stay connected to where you've been planted. God's planted you strategically, and you need to connect with these people. That's one thing that you need to do. You need to give. And I'll tell you ahead of time, I like giving stuff to people. And up here on the stage, there are some shells. I give shells to the teachers. We go to the beach once a year to visit my mother-in-law. She lives on a beach in Charleston. And Kathy and I go to visit her with our kids meet down there too. It's a wonderful time, and we bring shells back to share with other people. And so if you want a shell, I think there's five or six up in the first service, I don't know, that's a lid to a box. That's what I put them in. But they're right there if you'd like one. Don't push anybody over if you're rushing up here to get it. Be nice about it. And then, so I give things to people just to remind them I love them and I care about them. I'm always praying. I pray a lot. I hope you do too. And then the last thing I try to do is just to be active, not to forget about what God called me to do, but to do some of that every day. So let me read to you a little bit here. This is Matthew 5, verses 13 through 16. If you want to follow along, it's up there. I'll be reading here. You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Salt and light, and sharing your light, that's what we're called to do in this particular passage. And why does he call us salt? Well, you know, I'm an older person. When you would compliment somebody because they were vital or they whatever they did was really good, you call them the salt of the earth. That guy's the salt of the earth. I know him. He's a hard worker. He does a great job. So that's what Jesus is saying here. And salt reminds us of more than three things, but three things in particular, according to the great Bible commentary written by William Barclay. Salt is pure. It's actually very attractive if you pour it out. Now, I've done that accidentally. You ever done that when you meant to salt your food and the wrong hole was open? And but it's actually quite attractive. It's glistening. It's white. It comes from the sea and the sun, which connects it to purity. And Jewish sacrifices were offered with salt. So it calls us to be pure. And for us to be pure, we got to watch our speech. We got to watch our work ethic. We have to watch our honesty. We need to be in the world, but not of the world. Amen? Salt's also a preservative. They use salt to keep things from going bad, meat in particular. It prevents rotten corruption. And so for us as Christians, we have to be almost antiseptic in the way that we mix with our culture where we've been planted. We must be people who, by our presence, make it easier for others to do right. How do we do that? You ever gone into your office or to your school and people are slamming the boss? Ever done that before? We don't participate in that kind of stuff. We have to be different than that. Will we have disagreements with our boss? Sure. But if we have disagreements with them, we go to them one-on-one. We talk to them personally about it. We don't murmur about it. We say the right thing. And if we do that, it makes it easier for others. There may be people that you're around that feel uncomfortable being involved in that kind of conversation. But if nobody stands up, who's going to do the right thing? Sometimes if you will stand up, they'll do the right thing as well. And the last thing salt does, it lends flavor to things. Christianity is to life what salt is to food. I have a couple of funny quotes in here. But because it brings flavor, as I age and because of the medications that I take, I've been on blood pressure medication for a while. my sense of taste is slightly dulled. But boy, you put salt on something, that's pretty good. I like that. I like that. But sometimes as Christians, we have the opposite effect. Oliver Wendell Holmes, he was a physician, poet, and humorist, once said, he might have entered the ministry if certain clergy he knew had not looked or acted like undertakers. That's not too good, is it? Oops. That's on me or that's on us. Robert Louis Stevenson, the author, once entered in his diary, I've been to church today and I'm not depressed. Oh, we've got to do better than that, don't we? Lord, please help us discover the lost radiance of the Christian life. We should be the serene ones when there's a lot of stress. When people are depressed, we should be full of the joy of the Lord. That's how we lend flavor. That's how we make a difference. Amen? Yeah. In verse 14, Jesus calls us the light of the world. He called himself that in John 8, verse 12. So he's called us to be like him. That's what we're supposed to be, little Jesuses. We can reflect the love of Jesus by the way that we behave around others. But the best way is not through works. No, it's not that. The Bible says lots of things about works, but they don't draw us any closer to God. The best thing to do is reflect the love of Jesus, the way that you speak and the way that you work and the way that you act. You remember those bracelets that we used to wear as Christians? What would Jesus do? Anybody had a what would Jesus do bracelet? I did. That's how we should attempt to live, thinking about what would Jesus do in the particular situation that we involved ourselves in. So salt is pure, it preserves, and what was the last thing? Oh, it lends flavor. Yeah. But we're supposed to be a light as well. A light is meant to be seen. I don't know. I wrote this down about a light meant to be seen. I have this internal map when I wake up in the night. If I have to go downstairs and get a drink of water or something, I can switch on a light in my brain and I know where to go, what steps to walk down. I don't have to turn any lights on, because if I do, I'll wake my wife up or any guests that we have at the house. And I don't want to do that. So I have an internal map, and I don't need to turn on a light. But we moved 5 years ago. My internal map is not functioning very well. And I have lots. We have three flights of stairs where I live. So I need a light. Thank the good Lord for my phone. You know, you get your phone out and you turn the light on. It works for you. It's not a very bright light either. I need to see that light. Our Christianity should be the same way. It should be easily visible where we're planted. Not just in the church, but at your work site, in your family. And that can be tough, can't it? Where you exercise, you get the picture. I was in the library at school the other day. I'm hoping that people at my school know that I love the Lord Jesus. I think they do, but sometimes, you know, you don't know. Well, I was watching a teacher, happened to be a fourth grade teacher, for a friend of mine. Fourth grade teacher watching her kids run around, check out books in the library, and they can be extremely active. And as I looked at her, it looked to me a little bit like her eyes were rolling around in her head like this. And I felt bad for her, but she looked at me and she said, would you pray for me? And I said, gladly. And I laid hands on her, prayed for her in the name of Jesus. I did. If we're seen, we were able to do things like that. So a light is meant to be seen. A light is also a guide. I've been on a few mission trips in my life. I went to the Ukraine twice, and we were at a little place next to the capital. I think the capital of Ukraine is Kyiv, and we were in a little city called Vyshgorod. And we were trained how to be gracious when we stayed with other people, the kind of equipment we need when we went over there, and the kind of food that we would be served, and learned to be very gracious even if it didn't look very good to us. They served something in a glass once. It looked like sour cream a little bit, but I was told by my interpreter it was pig fat. But I ate it, and I smiled when I ate it. But my point when I went to the Ukraine was this. We had to go to night meetings, and sometimes I had to go by myself. I knew where I was supposed to go, but I didn't know the language, and there are no streetlights in Vyshgorod. I was very glad I had a flashlight. I was told to bring one. I brought a couple. And I was very glad I had one because I needed that. I needed that light as a guide. And sometimes we need to be that way where we've been planted. If there's some dark places where you've been planted, it would be good if you stood up and did the right thing, said the right thing, worked very hard to be a guide, maybe for others to do the same thing as you. So a light is meant to be seen, meant to be a guide. And sometimes a light is meant to be a warning light. Sometimes we have to tell someone the road they're traveling down leads to heartache because of our own personal experience or because of what the Word of God says about their circumstances. I've had some rough knocks in my life. I've been incarcerated 3 different times. I don't say that because I'm proud of it. I'm very embarrassed about it. But I had a rocky relationship with my dad. My dad knew I was he was a good man and he was a good father, but he knew I was kind of bullheaded. And I was going to do what I wanted to do, and he tried to help me the best he could with that. But it didn't keep me from getting out of trouble. But he tried to tell me early on, son, you're going to have some issues. And I was really appreciative as I reflected after I'd gotten in trouble, not once, but twice, but 3 times, that maybe Dad knows what he's talking about. Sometimes you need to be that warning light. And if that makes you a little nervous, just think about somebody who knows you and what they might say later on if they ask you, why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you warn me? Sometimes we need to be that. Verse 16 in the scripture that we just read says, let our light shine before others that they may see our good works and give glory to our Father in heaven. This verse reminds us of 2 things. Our good deeds are to be seen. They are to be seen. The Greek word for good here is kalos, which means that our deed is not only good, but it's humble and beautiful and attractive. There can be an element of hardness to good deeds when they're done for selfish reasons. There's true charm in Christian goodness, and I see it in kids all the time. That's why I'm so blessed to be a teacher. And by the way, if you have an inclination to teach, Sunday school needs teachers. And it's really, really neat working with kids. I told some people I might sing this. I had a situation in kindergarten last week, where we have 26 kids in the classroom, and a couple of them have to sit not with the group on the floor, but in a place on their own because they have self-control issues. And we were playing a game called Doggy, Doggy, Where's Your Bone? And I saw somebody roll their eyes. I'm sorry, it's a fun game. Here's what happens. I have a dog bone with me, and we have kids sitting back at tables. And we invite one child to come up, they're the dog. And we sing, Doggy, Doggy, Where's Your Bone? All together. Then the child who's the dog sings, Somebody stole it from my home. And then we all sing, Who Stole Your Bone? And then in the meantime, I had slipped back with the other kids were and given them the dog bone. So one child has a dog bone. And that child sings, I have your bone. And the child that's on the floor, who is the dog, has to guess who they think that is by the tone of their voice. Well, the child that I picked was one of the children who had to sit in a chair because he had self-control issues. And he sang great. He guessed the right person. And then I saw him 3 other times that day. Unfortunately, I was in a classroom teaching. But he came and he said, Mr. Reeve, I was the dog. I did the dog. But it was a wonderful thing. It was a real loving thing for him to do. And I was blessed. I was blessed by him. So our good deeds need to be seen. And it doesn't. And the scripture also said that our good deed doesn't draw attention to us, but to our Father in heaven. That takes any theatrical goodness out of the picture and places God right in the middle of it because he was the one who gave us the power to do the good deed that we did in the first place anyway, wasn't he? He was. D.L. Moody, the great evangelist, was once at a conference when a group of serious students remarked that they had held an all-night prayer vigil. Sir, we prayed all night, and look at our faces. They're shining. And he said gently but quietly to them, Moses didn't know that his face was shining. Kind of, it's not about you. It's about God. It's all about Him, isn't it? Well, this is the review again. Here's what I want you to remember to do. To connect with your Father. Do that daily. The Bible says, it is written, this is in Matthew 4:4, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And I would encourage you to go as far as to give up a meal a week, memorize some scripture. It's really helpful. I mean, I've told this story many, many times, but there's a scripture in 1 Peter that says, don't react to something bad that happens to you, because Jesus didn't do that. When he was brutalized, he suffered silently. I was playing softball once, and I was a left-handed second baseman. So every time I took a throw from the shortstop, I had to turn this way and throw to first base. I didn't know what was coming at me. And a guy came at me once, and he hit me right about here in my glasses, knocked me over. I had the ball in my hand, and I wanted to throw the ball at him and hit him with it. But I didn't do that because I remembered that scripture that I told you about. So connect with your Father and connect with those people that are around you. Talk to them. Talk to your family members. I mean, I have the gift of gab. I'm actually kind of a quiet, reserved person, but in a big crowd, I can talk to people about sports, about food, about socks, about bow ties. Well, I do. I have on pretty good socks today. These are Superman socks with a cape on the end of them. That's what I do at school. Kids are always asking me, what do your socks look like, Mr. Reeve? And I can show them. But talk to them. Create connection with them. And then after you do that, and they know that you care about them, after you do number two, that's the next thing. After they know that you care about them, they're going to share some stuff with you. They're going to ask you to pray for them. Or you can offer to pray for them. And that's a great thing. So connect with your Father. Connect with the people where you've been planted. Second thing is to give. For God so loved the world that he gave, is what the Bible says. At school I give shells. They're over there if you want one. I used to give bread at Christmas time. I might do that this year. I didn't last year because of COVID. I sent a text to a guy once. I hadn't seen him because he'd had surgery before COVID, and he was afraid to come back to school because of COVID. And I sent a text to him, and he said, thanks. This is the first time I heard from anybody. He'd kind of been forgotten. And it was easy for us to do that because of the way that we were living. Those of you who are teachers, we had to live in a system called the hybrid system. We had people there in front of us. We had people on the computer. And we had to try to keep them both connected. It was very hard. But give of your love and your attention, and give people things if you feel inclined to do it. Third thing is always be praying. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. God can remind you a lot about if you stay connected through prayer, particularly for the folks you're trying to connect with. Prayer will open up doors for you. And you might also have to pray for forgiveness. I've had to do that before because I didn't do the right thing. I played basketball at school with some of the guys. We have a healthy number of men who work at my elementary school, and it's a great place. I really love it. But we were playing once, and I got a rebound, and a guy came and kind of wrapped me up, and I threatened to elbow him and because I was competing inappropriately. So when I went home, God reminded me when I was praying that evening, that wasn't the right thing to do. So I had to call my friend up and ask for his forgiveness. So prayer opens up a lot of doors for everything. And the last thing, so connect, give, pray, and be active in your faith. Look for ways you can share the love of Jesus with other people. Think about it periodically. I'll tell you one more story. I saw somebody do this, and this is why I did it. It wasn't my original idea, but there are two guys at my school. One of them, he and his wife just had a baby. One of them is going to have a baby in December, and I thought, what can I do for them? I'm opening up my phone to read something to you. How many of you know what Christian Mother Goose is? Not many people. Well, It's pretty cool. My wife and I bought Christian Mother Goose when we were getting ready to have kids. And we read to the kids when they were in the womb. We read to them a lot afterwards. It was pretty cool. But Christian Mother Goose is awesome. I just want to give it a thumbs up. And if I had my other thumb, I'd give it another thumbs up. Listen to this. This is a three blind mice. You remember that? Remember that? See how they run? They all ran after the farmer's wife who cut off their tails with a carving knife. It's a pretty violent poem. Well, here's a Christian Mother Goose, three blind mice. It's not three blind mice. It's three kind mice. Three kind mice, three kind mice. See what they've done, see what they've done. They helped a lost chick to find mother hen. They brought some food to the church mice then. They cleaned up the treehouse for Jenny Wren. Those three kind mice. That's pretty cool, I think. And so I got a book for these two guys, Christian Mother Goose, and I'm gonna give it to them pretty soon when I have the opportunity. Be active. Think about ways you can bless other people. Now I'm going to read to you here what I have. This past year in the current one we're all living in has been trying. I've had trouble with sleep. I don't know if you guys have or not, but I've had trouble with sleep. Some say it's an age thing. Some say it's a nervous thing. I think for me it's an age thing and a nervous thing. So I got a double dose. I'm often doing things at church and at school that I've never done before. Technology-wise, in particular, I know enough to get myself in trouble and makes me uncomfortable. And I'm a schedule guy. I write things down on a piece of paper. Before I go into a classroom, I have bullet points about what I want to accomplish. I want to remember it. I want to be ordered. I don't want to have disruptions in my classroom if I can help from it. And I want to do what I set out to do for that day. Well, my old schedules have been decimated, and I'm having a whole lot of trouble scheduling new ones. But I would be remiss if I didn't remember that the Lord was with me through all that we've been through, and I experienced many wonderful blessings. Some of the things I'm talking about here, some of the things that you guys have done for me, some of you have said you're praying for me, some of you have shared with me so I can pray with you. I remember when I was going through that hybrid teaching that I told you about, I had, my schedule was for the day was, I had a third grade class, went directly to a second grade class, went directly to a first grade class, went directly to a kindergarten class. Then I had a lunch period. And the third grade class didn't go very well, second grade class didn't go very well, first grade class didn't go very well, kindergarten class didn't go very well. Had technology issues, teaching issues, attitude issues. And I was feeling pretty poorly that day. Well, as I was walking down the hall to go to get my lunch, a little kindergarten girl, before I left the room, the last class I taught, ran up and gave me a note. I didn't look at it till I got back to the library in my home. But here's what it said. Mr. Reeve, I love you. Just what I needed. That's the way God is. He's always on time, isn't he? Oh, Lord Jesus. Those things have made a difference in me, really. And when we share blessings with each other, we're being salt and light. So I would just challenge you today. Be salt and light where you've been planted. Share the love of Jesus. Even if it's just something that you say, send a text to somebody. Think creatively about what God would have you do. Because he loves you. And he wants you to love others. Can you pray with me for just a moment? And the worship team, come on back up. Father, I thank you for this, your people. Pray you'll bless and encourage them. Pray you'll help them, Father, be creative to love others, because that's what you want us to do, Father. Love others because you've loved us. Encourage and minister to them. Even now, I ask in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Okay, we got one more song to sing to you. Joy, I promise you I'll turn this off.